ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे मॉर्निंग वी रीड फ्रॉम द 7th कैंटो 15th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 73। दास्याम अहा यज्ञे तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनां शुश्रूषया अनुसंगेन प्राप्तो अहं ब्रह्मपुत्रता। तावद्दास्यामहं यज्ञे तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिनां शुश्रूषयानुसंगेन प्राप्तोऽहं ब्रह्मपुत्रता। तावद्दास्यामहं यज्ञे तत्रापि ब्रह्मवादिना शुश्रूषयानुसंगेन प्राप्तोऽहं ब्रह्मपुत्रता। तावत् सिंस बीइंग कर्स्ड Dasyam, in the womb of a maid servant. Aham, I. Jadnye, took birth. Tatrapi, although being a Shudra. Brahmavadina, and to persons well conversant with the Vedic knowledge. Shushrushaya, by rendering service. Anusangena, simultaneously. Praptaha, obtained. Aham, I. Brahmaputrata, a birth as the son of Lord Brahma in this life. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Please repeat the translation. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maidservant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who were well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita 9.32 says, Mam hi partha vyapashritya yepi siu papa yonayaha striyo vaishyas tata shudras tepi yanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas as well as shudras, can approach the supreme destination. It doesn't matter whether a person is born as a Shudra, a woman or a Vaishya. If he associates with the devotees repeatedly or always, Sadhu Sangena, he can be elevated to the highest perfection. Narad Muni is explaining this in relation to his own life. The Sankirtana movement is important, for regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Mlecha, Yavan or whatever, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. This is bhakti, anukulyena krishna anushilanam. Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. Anyabilashita shunyam, if one has no desire other than to serve Krishna and his devotees, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narad Muni through his practical example from his own life. Omadnyanatimirandhasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaham. Sri Chaitanya manovishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shirade Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram. Hare Krishna. I should like to welcome all of you for this morning Bhagavatam class, where we are reading from the 7th canto, 15th chapter, text 73. We are on the verge of concluding this chapter and eventually the 7th canto, wherein Narad Muni is discussing with Maharaj Yudhishthira, and in this specific chapter these are the instructions for civilized human beings. Yesterday we heard in a very wonderful class by Her Grace Daivi Shakti Mataji how Narad Muni actually he was born as the son of Brahma. And then because he refused to procreate as an order of his own father, Brahma gave him a curse that he would take birth in the Gandharva body and he would be always surrounded by women. And after getting this Gandharva body on a specific occasion when there was a beautiful festival organized by the demigods to glorify the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Narad Muni as a Gandharva was invited and he went there and he started glorifying other demigods, out of which he again got cursed to take birth as a Shudra. In this verse, Narad Muni says that I took birth as a Shudra due to that curse that I was being given by the demigods. And I was born from the womb of a maidservant. But though being a Shudra, though being born in a very lowly family lineage where I didn't even know who my father was, I got an opportunity to serve the devotees of the Lord and to hear from the devotees of the Lord. And as a result, again I regained my position as the son of Lord Brahma. So this is a very beautiful verse with a very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Tavat dasyam aham jadni. I took birth as the son of dasya, dasi, a maidservant. Tatrapi, even then, in spite of taking birth as a son of a maidservant in a very lowly born family lineage with practically no cultural values could be expected from such a lowly lineage, but still By the will of providence, I got an association of those wonderful devotees of the Lord, the Bhaktivedantas who had come there to execute devotional service in the month of Chaturmasya. Yesterday we started the Chaturmasya Vrata, was the first day. So in this period of Chaturmasya, the Bhaktivedantas, the devotees of the Lord, they stay in one place and execute devotional service. I got a chance to associate with them. Brahmavadi Nam. Brahma is specifically called, it's a term for Vedas. Those who are well versed in the Vedas, Brahmavadi. I got an opportunity to serve them, Shushrushaya. I served them with full heart, with full conviction, with full surrenderance. And Anusangena, I associated with them. Anusangena, Anu means regularly, continuously. I continuously with full heart, with full dedication, with full devotion, with full conviction, I associated with them. And once I associated with them, despite of my lowly birth, prapto aham brahmaputratam, I regained my position as the son of Lord Brahma. So this is the meaning of the verse that Narad Muni is saying to Maharaj Yudhishthir. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada stresses on these two words, Shushrushaya and Anusangena, to serve and to associate with devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his classic devotional explanation called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, gives the 64 activities of devotional service, and in those 64 activities, 5 activities are main, which is called the Panchanga Bhakti. And those 5 activities are association with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or studying Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name or Sankirtana, Dham Vas, residing in the holy Dham, and deity worship, Archavigraha Sevan. In this, if one only associates with devotees, all the rest 4, and what to say about the 4, all the rest 63 activities of devotional service are automatically being performed by a person who gets associated with devotees. That is the power of devotional association with devotees. The Lord Himself glorifies the devotees to a great deal in various places in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada in this purport quotes from the first chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the verse which defines pure devotional service. What is bhakti? So in that it says that anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. That is uttama bhakti. What is uttama bhakti? Uttama bhakti is anushilan. Anushilan means activity. Anu means regular. A regular activity. What type of activity? Now this is a kriya. This is an activity. But there are a lot of adjectives to this activity. And the first activity is one who has an heart without expectations. Anya abhilashita. Any expectations devoid of serving Krishna is anya. Anya abhilasha. So one who is devoid of anya abhilasha and jnana and karma, who is devoid of jnana and karma. Jnana and karma, in the commentaries it is said that jnana and karma refers to bhog and tyag, to enjoy or to renounce material opulences. A devotee is something beyond jnana and karma. He neither enjoys neither he renounces material opulences. That is what Srila Rupa Goswami states as Yukta Vairagya. That is a peculiar position of a devotee. He gets material opulences as a result of his devotional service, but he neither enjoys nor he renounces. He never renounces material opulences. He uses it in the service of Krishna. That is Anushilanam. And what Anushilanam? It is said Krishna Anukul. Anukul is favorable. Favorable to Krishna. That activity which is favorable to Krishna, which is devoid of jnana and karma or bhog and tyag or renunciation and enjoyment, and which is devoid of anya abhilasha, anything other than the desire to please Krishna. That is Uttama Bhakti. This we have heard a lot of time, and we meditate on this definition about Uttama Bhakti. But there is something more wonderful to this when you go to the commentaries of Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this specific definition of pure devotional service. It is said that the word Krishna is not only Krishna Swayam. It's not Swayam Krishna. It's not only Krishna himself, but it is Tadiya Krishna as well. What is Tadiya? Tadiya means his belongings. Krishna himself and his belongings. Any activity which is favorable towards Krishna and his belongings. And the foremost belonging of Krishna, as Krishna personally himself states, we will go through some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. A personal belonging, a very dear belonging of Krishna is his devotees, Vaishnavas. So when you say Krishna Anushilanam, it is favorable towards the Supreme Lord as well as the devotees of the Supreme Lord. That is what Srila Prabhupada as well states in this purport. He says, Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. That is Uttama Bhakti. Associating with devotees and serving the devotees favorably. Why one should associate with devotees, and what is the result of, or how the association with devotees should be, is very well explained in the third canto, 25th chapter, when Kapila Muni instructs Mother Devuti. In the 24th verse, he says, Te ete sadhava sadvi sarva sangha vivarjitaha. One should associate with sadhus. What type of sadhus? He explains in the preceding three verses. We won't go into the definition of sadhu or the definition of a bhakta. It's a very wonderful definition, but it will take a lot of time. So such type of sadhus one should associate with, or such type of devotees one should associate with. Why should one associate with devotees? Kapil Muni says, sarva sangha vivarjita, being devoid of all other association with the non-devotees, or asat sangha, or the association with the impure subjects and impure people, one should be devoid of that association and associate with devotees. Why? Because sangas teshu atate prarthya sangha dosha haraite. Because such an association, concentrated association with the devotees, being devoid of disassociation or association with non-devotees, actually purifies our heart to a great extent. Sangha dosh. We get lot of impurities or lot of dushanas, pollution in our heart because of associating with the matter, material subjects or material people or people with material consciousness. Their association pollutes our heart to a great extent, and that is called sangha dosha. The pollution that is created because of association with polluted consciousness, that is sangha dosha. One can get freed from this sangha dosha simply by associating with devotees. Therefore, the foremost thing in the 64 activities of devotional service is association with devotees. One who associates with devotees, all the rest 63 activities are automatically getting performed by this person who sincerely associates with devotees. How should the association be? Because association, Prabhupada in one place explains that one should not associate with a guru or a devotee in the way that a mosquito associates with a sadhu. Even a mosquito associates with a sadhu, a mosquito goes and bites a sadhu, even if he is a pure devotee, purest devotee of the Lord, by that association which the mosquito gets from that sadhu sucking his blood, he will not be able to attain devotional service. Actually, he is drinking the blood of that sadhu which is completely purified, because the sadhu is in the complete Krishna consciousness. He is eating prasadam, he is glorifying the Lord, he is hearing about the Lord, he is performing devotional service 24/7. His whole existence is purifying. He is Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabho, he is Swayam Tirtha. He is such a purified person, sucking his blood should give so much of pious credit to the mosquito, but that doesn't deliver a mosquito by biting a pure devotee. So association are of different grades and different types. And in the 25th verse of the 25th chapter of the third canto, Kapila Muni instructs Mother Devahuti and he says that Satam Prasangan Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Ritkarana Rasayanam Katha Tad Joshanad Ashu Apavarga Vartamani Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. One should have prasanga with the devotees. What is prasanga? Prasanga is prakrishta sangha. One should have prakrishta sangha with the devotees. What is prakrishta? Prakrishta means excellent. Excellent association with devotees. When you say excellent association, is there any non-excellent association with the devotees as well? Yes. There is also a non-excellent association with devotees. Generally we think that just staying in between devotees, we are associating with devotees. But there are different grades of association that has been described in the bona fide scriptures and our bona fide acharyas. Satam is referred to the devotees. Sat means the eternal soul. Asat means the perishable body. One who works to deliver the eternal soul is called Satam. One who works towards the deliverance of his own eternal constitutional position as a soul, he is called Sat. Satam Prasangan, excellent association with such devotees, Mamavirya Samvido, who are cognizant of my position, who are cognizant of my entire Krishna Tattva, who knows who I am, who doesn't mistake me or misunderstand me. He knows me completely in and out, who is Krishna. Mama Virya Samvido. Samvid, vid means to know and sam means completely. Who completely knows my position. With such devotees who know my position, who have heard from the bona fide scripture, who have served the devotees and acquired lot of inspiration and knowledge, if we associate with such pure devotees, what happens is Bhavanti Ritkarana Rasayanakata. Why should one associate with pure devotees? In a pure consciousness of mind, with an excellent association, because in that excellent association, Bhavanti Ritkarana Rasayanakata. Bhavanti means manifests. What manifests? Krishna Katha manifests in that association. And what is the peculiarity of Krishna Katha? Rit Karana Rasayan. It purifies the ears, it purifies the heart, it purifies our consciousness. Tad Joshanat, one should cultivate, one should hanker to associate with devotees in such a way, because Ashu, immediately, Apavarga, he progresses on the path of liberation, Vartmani progresses, and Shraddha, Rati, Bhakti, Anukramishyati. And gradually he develops Shraddha, then Rati, and then Bhakti. This is an astonishing verse with a very beautiful commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that if there is prakrishta sangha, if there is excellent association, there is also non-excellent association. One should mind here that he is not talking about non-excellent devotees. Devotees are always excellent. But association with the devotees can be excellent and non-excellent. It can be of a poor quality. It can be excellent as well. So what are the symptoms of excellent association and non-excellent association? He explains that in excellent association, you will find that there is continuous discussion about Krishna Katha. So he states, Prakrishta Sangan Mama Katha Bhavanti. In the excellent association, my katha or my discussion about my own self, Machitta Matagata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayanta Shamam Nityam Tushanticha Ramanticha. That is the quality of devotees. Whenever they come together, they discuss about Krishna Katha, they discuss about the qualities of the Supreme Lord, the name, fame, glories and pastimes, the form of the Lord. They discuss about Krishna. That is Prakrishta Sangha or excellent Sangha. In this Prakrishta Sangha, what happens is Krishna Katha happens. In the non-excellent Sangha, what happens? Because that is very important to understand. Many a times we associate with the devotees in different consciousness. So what happens if we associate in a non-excellent manner? Then he states, Tataha prakrishta sangat anartha nivritti katart bhavanti ava prakrishta sangat bhajana kriya matram natu katha. He says in non-excellent association of devotees only bhajan kriya is performed. Devotees, if you see the nine stages of devotional service, starting from Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha, Nivruti, then Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav and Prem. So in this, after we associate with devotees, Sadhu, Sangha, that Sadhu, Sangha, how we associate with devotees defines whether we are going to go and stick to the stage of Bhajana Kriya or we are going to transgress the stage of Bhajana Kriya into Anartha Nivruti and beyond Anartha Nivruti. If we just are not moving ahead of Bhajana Kriya into the stages of Anartha Nivruti and Nishtha, that means our association with devotees is not excellent, as per Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. What does excellent association means? Essentially to associate with devotees to hear about Krishna. That is anusanga. Physical service to pure devotees or devotees of Krishna does purify our heart. But nothing purifies the heart of the conditioned soul as an excellent association with the devotees. Sitting in association with devotees and hearing about Krishna, the more it purifies, nothing else. Nothing, no activity purifies one other than hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. Because Krishna Katha itself, it said that it is anartha nivrutti kaha. If you want our anarthas to diminish, anything that can diminish our anarthas is Krishna Katha, nothing else. Heard in the association of devotees. That is what is the opinion of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And once anartha nivruti has happened, once you get completely freed from your anarthas, from the pollution of your heart, from the polluted consciousness, then the other stages, nishtham utpadayanto, then ruchi utpadayanto. So nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhav and prem, shraddha, ratir, bhaktir, anukramishyati. Gradually, you can easily attain that. So first and foremost thing, this verse says that anusangena, one should continuously associate with devotees, but in the same way, one should have an excellent association. If that happens, then ashu, very immediately one gets purified. Many a times we have this question that even after practicing devotional service for decades together, we find ourselves stuck somewhere. We are not moving ahead as we used to move in our early years. The main reason that this happens is because we lose that innocence as we had in the early years, and our seriousness about associating with devotees in an excellent manner gets reduced. And that is where we go and stick in stages of Bhajana Kriya and partial Anartha Nivruti. So in scriptures it is said even a moment of association with devotees can deliver the conditioned soul to the fullest destination. Sarva Siddhi Hai, Lavamatra Sadhu Sang. But what kind of Sadhu Sang? If we go to a devotee and discuss about material well-being, is that going to deliver us? No, it's not going to deliver us. If we go to a devotee and inquire about our material possessions and opulences, how about we can acquire it, how we can maintain it, how we can grow it, is it going to deliver us? No, it's not going to deliver us. So it's not that the devotee is excellent or non-excellent. It is our consciousness, it is our association that defines. It is the way we associate with devotees is defined whether it's going to benefit us or not. Actually, devotees are so dear to the Supreme Lord. We'll quickly go through a very wonderful section in the 9th canto, 4th chapter, where Ambarish Maharaj got offended by Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni is running because of the danger that has been inflicted upon him due to this offense. The Sudarshan Chakra is following Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni is running throughout the three worlds. He tried to find shelter in this planet, he didn't find. Then he went to the upper planets. There he tried to find shelter in various places, he couldn't find. He then approached the Brahmaloka and requested Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said that you have offended a devotee of my Lord. He is my Lord as well, and all the demigods work under his instructions. I cannot do anything about it. You find some other shelter. He goes to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva gives him a similar answer and advises him to go to Vaikuntha and approach Lord Vishnu, because you have offended the devotee of Lord Vishnu. Now once he reaches Vaikuntha, there is a wonderful conversation between Lord Vishnu and Durvasa. And Lord Vishnu instructs Durvasa, and in those instructions, in 6 beautiful verses, Lord Vishnu reveals his heart about how dear the devotees are to him. These are gems of the verses. If one understands, if one can meditate, he will never be in a position to offend a devotee whatsoever may be the situation. So let's go through these verses quickly. We cannot explain them in depth because the time won't permit us. But Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, we start from the 63rd verse of the 4th chapter of the 9th canto. In that he says, Aham bhakta paradino yasvatantra ivadvija sadhuvir grastar udayo bhaktair bhakta jana priyaha. He says that Aham bhakta paradino, I am completely dependent on the devotees. Lord Vishnu says that he is dependent on the devotees. Yasvatantra ivadvija. I am not independent. I am not at all independent. We say that the Lord is independent. We say that Swarat, Swatantra. Krishna is Swatantra. Krishna is Swarat. Here, Lord Vishnu himself says, Aswatantra. I am not Swatantra. I am not independent. I am dependent. Upon whom am I dependent? I am dependent on my devotees. Why am I dependent on my devotees? What is the reason that I have to be dependent on my devotees? Sadhuvir grasta rudayo. Because the sadhus, the devotees, they have inflicted my heart, they have captured my heart, they have completely taken control of my heart. Grasta rudayo. Bhaktair bhakta janapriya. What to speak about my devotees? Even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. I am completely captivated by the qualities of my devotees. What is so much in the devotees that the Supreme Lord gets captivated? His heart gets completely inflected, completely influenced. He surrenders himself unto the will of his devotees. What are those wonderful qualities of those devotees? He explains further. Next verse he says, Naham Atmanam Ashase Mad Bhaktai Sadhubir Vina Shriyam Chatyantikim Brahman Yesham Gatir Ahampara. Yesham Gatir Ahampara. For those devotees whose ultimate destination is only to achieve me, is only to achieve my lotus feet, is only to achieve my supreme abode. Without those devotees for whom the only destination is to achieve me, I cannot enjoy my own opulences in the spiritual world. It's not that I cannot enjoy, but I don't want to enjoy.
Naham atmanam ashase. I don't like to enjoy my own. Chatyantikim shriyam. Atyantikim shriya means opulences, and atyantik means endless opulence, which cannot be counted by anybody. Such an opulence I possess in my own abode. But I don't want to enjoy these opulences if my devotees are not with me. Which devotees? Yesham gatir aham para. Those devotees for whom I am the only destination. Those who have surrendered everything unto my lotus feet. What have they surrendered? Ye daragara putrapta pranan vittam imam param hitva mam sharanam yataha katam tam styaktum utsahe. Very wonderful explanation. He says, all those devotees who have dedicated or who have surrendered dara, agara, putra, apta, pranan and vittam. What have they surrendered? They have surrendered everything. They have renounced from bodily affection towards the opposite sex. Dara essentially, literally means wife. So renouncing the family doesn't mean to completely boycott the family, but to renounce it from one's own enjoyment. Though staying with them, he is not enjoying dara. Agar, his own house, his property, his estate, he has surrendered unto me. Putra, his son, he has surrendered. He is looking after them, but he is looking after them with a consciousness that they are my property and he has to take care because they are my property. And he gives them all the facilities to perform devotional service unto me. That is called surrendering one's wife, surrendering one's son. Apta. Apta means relatives. He has surrendered all his relatives. If they follow, they are okay. If they don't follow, he just keeps them apart. Pranan. He has surrendered his own life. Vittam. He has surrendered his own wealth, his opulences. Imam param. Param hitva. Param hitva means completely surrendered. Not in a way conveniently. That when there is a convenience, I say I have surrendered. When there is a convenience, I enjoy. It's not conveniently. It's param hitva. Everything he has hitva, he has renounced completely. And then, mam sharanam yata. He has surrendered to me. Tell me, Durvasa, katham tyam staktyam utsahe, how can I boycott or ignore such devotees who have left everything behind just to come and surrender to my lotus feet? Because of this quality, mai nirbaddha rudayaha, my heart has been completely captivated. Nirbaddha, nitaram baddha, continuously is getting captivated by such wonderful qualities of the devotees. Sadhavah samadarshanaha, by the devotees of those, by the qualities of those sadhus, those devotees who are samadarshana or equipoised in any situation, even in lots of distress or lots of condition of enjoyment, they are equipoised. They don't enjoy, they don't lament. They are equipoised. Samadarshanaha. Vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya. Because of their devotional service and their devotional qualities and their devotional consciousness, they have actually captivated me. Vashikrita. You know this word vashikaran? Hypnotize. They have hypnotized me. They have captured my heart. Sat striya sat patim yatha. As a sat stri or a chaste wife captivates the heart of her husband, similarly my unalloyed devotees have captured my heart. They have captivated my heart. It's a beautiful analogy of a chaste woman. The chaste woman has only one shelter, and that's her husband. If a woman has multiple shelters, she cannot be called as chaste. Similarly, a devotee has single shelter, single one point focus, one point shelter, and that is Krishna and his pure devotees. If a person has multiple shelters, he cannot be called as a devotee of the Lord. Mat sevaya pratitam te salokyadi chatushtayam nechanti sevaya purana kutonyat kala viplutam. And as a result of their surrender, as a result of their devotional qualities, their consciousness, they have been allotted with salokyadi chatushtayam, the four type of liberations other than sayujya. Out of the five type of liberations other than sayujya, four type of liberation they have been allotted without anything, without any other endeavor. They have been allotted naturally. Sarshti, Samipya, Salokya, Sarupya, they have been allotted. But na ichchanti, but they don't desire these liberations. Why? Because liberation is devoid of my service. Nechanti sevaya purna. They are complete in my devotional service. If they don't desire the liberation, then what to speak about something which can get destroyed by the effect of time? Kala viplutam. Kutonyat kala viplutam. What to say of something which can be destroyed by the effect of time? Anything material. They don't desire anything material. They don't even desire liberation. Sadavo rudayam mayam, sadunam rudayam tvaham, madanyatena jananti, naham tebhyo managapi. The sadhus, the devotees, they reside in my heart and I always reside in the heart of my devotees. Mad anyatena jananti. They don't think anything else other than my service. They don't think anything else other than serving me and associating with my devotees and serving my devotees. No. And even I don't think anything else other than my own devotees. Actually, the Supreme Lord is maintaining this whole world because devotees are residing in this. All these harmonious cycles of the nature of the cosmos, it's done just to serve the devotees. And the non-devotees, non-believers get benefit out of it because devotees are residing on this planet. Lord Vishnu confesses here, Naham tebhyo managapi. I don't even think for even a fraction of a second of a person who is not my devotee. I only think about my devotees. Naham tebhyo managapi. And saying this, he states, Upayam kateshyami tava vipra shrunushvatat ayam atma vicharaste yatastam yahi machiram sadhushu prahitam tejah prahartu kurute shivam. He says that I would advise you one thing. If you want that you get out of this horrible situation inflicted upon you because of offending my pure devotee Ambarisha, you are advised to go and surrender unto him immediately. Why? Because sadhushu prahitam teja, one who uses his powers, one who uses his influence, one who uses his opulences, his potencies against a sadhu, prahitam, against a sadhu, to harm a devotee, to offend a devotee, prahartu kurute ashivam. The same powers, the same opulences, the same influences, the same activity acts against the person who acts against a sadhu. So you have done a horrible thing, you have offended a sadhu. Go and surrender to him. So, coming back to this verse, Narada says, I got a birth as a Dasi Putra in a very low family lineage, but then I attained Brahmaputratam as the son of Lord Brahma. See the difference from a Dasi Putra to son of Lord Brahma. Transgressing all the middle stages,
he attained the position of son of Lord Brahma. And again, though son of Lord Brahma could be in this material world, but Narada gained qualities to travel in the three worlds and beyond the three worlds in the Vaikuntha without any restriction on his own will. That is a position a person can attain just by Shushrushaya and Anusanga. Shushrushaya means service, seva, and Anusanga means association, the excellent association with Brahmavadinam, the devotees who are cognizant about the position of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada, in various of his purports in these verses, states that associating with devotees is associating with directly with the Supreme Lord. One who associates with devotees is directly associating with the Supreme Lord. In a class, I heard a wonderful statement. One can become a pure devotee by following a pure devotee. One who follows a pure devotee to the extent one follows a pure devotee, to the extent he gets purified. There is no rocket science in attaining pure devotional service. Just one principle, that one who follows a pure devotee, 100% is a pure devotee. To the extent we follow a pure devotee, to the extent we become pure devotees. And that can only happen by association with Vaishnavas. Actually, this is the reason why Srila Prabhupada created this Sankirtan movement. In this purport, he says that the Sankirtan movement should always go on. Regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Mlechevan or whatever, if he associates with a pure devotee following his instruction and serves the pure devotee, his life is always successful. So this is a wonderful formula given by Srila Prabhupada, and we are fortunate enough to get full advantage of Srila Prabhupada's movement. Let's not miss this opportunity. Let's keep associating with devotees and perfect our lives. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. I don't know whether I'm really qualified to answer questions, but in service of Srila Prabhupada, I would try. These are some of our propensities, though we have lots of qualification, may not essentially mean that that purifies our consciousness. Having material qualifications, may they be grosser, they may be more subtle, doesn't necessarily purify our consciousness. Instead, one who doesn't has qualification is successful in purifying his consciousness just by associating with devotees, understands the highest truth. That is why if you see in the 6th canto, 3rd chapter, when Yamaraj explains the Bhagavata Dharma to his Yamadutas, they were perplexed, they were completely confused. How this happened that Ajamila got delivered, such a sinful person, by chanting the name of Lord, though he was not addressing the Lord, his own son, then he got delivered. And Yamaraj says that this is the quality of Bhagavata Dharma. And there he says that this Dharma is so Vishuddha, so Guhya, that nobody can understand. And there he says that Napi Rishaya Na Devaha Kutono Vidyadara Charanadayaha. Now rishis understand, nor the devatas understand, nor the Siddhas, the Siddha Mukhyas, the Asuras, the Manushyas. Nobody understands what is Bhagavata Dharma. Nobody understands. And then he states that only 12 of us understand. Vadashaito Vijanimo Dharmam Bhagavatamya. So what is the Bhagavata Dharma? Only 12 of us understand. Who are those 12? Swayambhu, Narado, Shambho, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu, Balir, Vayasakam, Vayam. So all these 12, we only understand. Nobody else understands. So it's very difficult to understand the position of the devotee and the position of the Supreme Lord. One who associates with a devotee can only understand. If you read the purport of this 25th verse of 25th chapter, 3rd canto, therein Srila Prabhupada states that many people say that they understand the Supreme Lord, but because they have not associated with the Supreme Lord, they cannot ascertain his position, and that's why they don't surrender unto the Supreme Lord completely. Only when one sits in association with devotees, hears about Krishna Katha from a bona fide Vaishnava, can one understand what is a Vaishnava and what is Lord Vishnu or Lord is what Krishna. So Durvasa had a lot of material qualifications, but then again, you know, there's a big difference between having material qualification and having a purified consciousness. Consciousness can be purified only by Krishna Katha, because anarthas get completely diminished. So in Chaitanya Charitamrit, one place it is stated that Bahu Janma Kari Jadi Shravana Kirtana Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadana. So even if we chant for lifetimes together, our heart doesn't get purified if we carry anarthas along with the process of devotional service or along with our bhajan. Now, this is a very subtle principle, of course. Purification is done by the holy name, but to sustainably keep chanting the holy name, we need to hear katha. There are so many cases in times of Srila Prabhupada also, when devotees, they understood that holy name is the only thing that can purify, so they left the association of devotees, went to a secluded place, started chanting 64 rounds. They were there for a few days and diminished afterwards. Classic example could be of Bharat Maharaj. He renounced everything, went into the forest and started following. Now, if you see, he was doing everything perfectly right. He was doing his bhajana kriya. But then what happened is he got addicted, or he got attracted towards that small deer, that baby deer. And if you see at the end of those chapters, his heart was so much captivated by that illusion that he started praying that, "Oh dear, where are you? Your only presence has purified this whole forest. Your footsteps needs to be searched by great souls, because those will purify even the conditioned soul. You are such a pure soul." This is what Bharat Maharaj starts praying. Now, wasn't he following devotional service? He was following. Wasn't he doing the prescribed duties? He was doing. Wasn't he chanting? He was doing everything, but devoid of association. Devoid of association, even if we follow our bhajana kriya to the highest perfection, you cannot guarantee that you can stay on that position or you can excel that position if you don't associate with devotees. Our consciousness starts changing, our motivation starts changing, our whole purpose of doing those activities there, it's still purifying. But to sustainably continue that activity, to continue to chant the holy name with the proper mood. See, holy name, even Ajamila chanted. He chanted once and he was liberated. One can ask if once
Chanting the holy name can liberate. Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Why do we have to chant the whole life? So by chanting the holy name once, or by chanting holy name accidentally, one's sins are diminished. That's for sure. But one cannot attain the love of Godhead unless and until he has that mood in his chanting. That is why Ajamila was given a second chance. He was given a second opportunity wherein he moved to a dham, he associated with devotees, he chanted the holy names, he served the deities, and then while taking bath into the Ganges, he was liberated. So chanting of the holy name does purify, but at the same time, to sustainably chant the holy name for a long time and to attain the love of God, we need katha. And this is as per my understanding. Because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this in this commentary. Yeah. So we are inspired to chant, and to chant with a proper mood only by hearing. If we renounce this Bhagavad classes and we don't hear properly, then it's difficult to maintain that mood of chanting as well. So anarthas is a different topic altogether to discuss. Anarthas is something that directly attacks the constitutional position of the soul. There is difference between pap and anartha. By performing pap or sins, our material existence is afflicted or affected. By performing offenses, our spiritual position is affected. So anarthas, one is aparad. In the set of anarthas, one is aparad. We cannot come out of this tendency of performing aparadas if we don't properly hear to the Krishna katha. And keeping doing aparad and carrying anarthas, chanting the holy name, will in fact degrade us more to a next level. It is said that if we don't chant attentively with a proper spiritual consciousness, and if a material consciousness creeps in, if we keep chanting, then that chanting itself will fulfill our material desires. And once our material desires start fulfilling, our spiritual consciousness will never elevate. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this as bhaktyonmukha anartha. Even bhakti can cultivate anarthas in our heart. So what are those anarthas? Those anarthas come because of inattentive performance of devotional service. So if you want to perform devotional service attentively, then Krishna Katha is the only solution, because Krishna Katha purifies our heart and our consciousness. I hope I can answer the questions. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaurabhakta Vrinda ki.